Well, I don't know. All the prison fellows are here tonight. We must be getting close to and putting us in jail. We got three fellows that's in the prison ministry, and they stayed out until tonight, so I don't know what's going on, but we're glad they're here. Brother Hooks is in the jail ministry, and he's going to come lead us in prayer at this time. And then once he leads us in prayer, Brother Paul Henry, who's in the jail ministry, is going to come, and I wound up with a lot of these prison fellows tonight. So, Brother Henry, I'm going to give you 7.5 minutes. 7.5 minutes, all right? Okay, Brother Hooks, pray for us.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for the privilege to assemble ourselves this evening. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy to us, God. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that we yet still live in a country, Father, where we have this privilege and this great honor. Father, we pray, Lord, you bless your men, God, as they stand tonight and preach, and Heavenly Father, present their work. We thank you, Lord, for those that, Heavenly Father, you've burdened to go. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for those, God, that you've burdened, Heavenly Father, to stand behind the sacred desk Sunday after Sunday, Heavenly Father, for your people, Heavenly Father, that God labor and work and hold down jobs, and God, they see the need and provide the means for others. God, we thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father. And God, be our desire tonight, and Father, we know it's yours, that there be one here lost, Heavenly Father, and undone. God, we pray, Lord, that their heart would be touched. And God, today could be the day, Heavenly Father, they'd see their need for the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, surrender to him, Heavenly Father. We ask you, God, to bless every ministry represented for Jesus' sake. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
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 Well, it's certainly a joy for me to be here tonight. I'll take my watch off and make sure I hold to that 7.5 minutes. They asked a fellow one time who took his watch off in prison what that meant. He says, well, it means I'm fixing to get it stolen. And otherwise, it doesn't mean a thing. But I am with the Rock of Ages Prison Ministry and do count it a great joy to be here tonight. My wife is with me tonight, Mickey Henry. And we live down in the south end of Meigs County. We were accepted by the Rock of Ages at the end of April and began our deputation the 1st of May. We began going in prison about 7.5 years ago, quite by accident. I never planned on being a prison preacher. Never planned on spending the rest of my life working with men behind prison bars. But you see, God, as things began to develop, why God touched my heart concerning men behind prison bars. I love to go there. And you say, why would you love to go to prison? Because prisoners are probably more honest about their spiritual needs than people in the free world. And I like to deal with people who will be honest with you about where they stand with the Lord. When you go knock on doors and the man tells you he's saved, stand there with his Bud Dummer in his hand and ain't been in church in 20 years, you've done run up against a brick wall because he done told you he's right with the Lord and everything else. But those men behind prison bars, they will be honest most of the time and tell you, preacher, I'm lost, I'm on my way to hell. And when I ask them if they'll let me share the gospel with you, and they shake their head, I go at it. And I count it a great privilege. I love to share the word of God because of the hope that's here in this precious book. And concerning my salvation, tonight I rejoice as the Apostle Paul did when he penned the second verse in chapter number 5. He said, rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And that's all I've got to rejoice in tonight is the glory of God, who he is. His power, His holiness, His righteousness, His mercy. Brother, I didn't have nothing to offer God when I came to Him, and I still don't have anything to offer Him except my life, and it would never measure up to what I needed to enter into the presence of God and receive salvation. And so, we do proud of the privilege to go into prison work. I, like I say, began going about 7.5 years ago. Our desire is to be prison chaplains, volunteer chaplains in the state of Tennessee. We have 5 volunteer Rock of Ages chaplains working in the state of Tennessee alone. My wife has also been in women's prisons and has done soul winning in women's prison, and her desire is also to work part-time with women. She's not a preacher, but she is a mature Christian, able to take the Word of God and show women how to be saved and take the precious Word of God, as Paul admonished the older women to do. To instruct the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be keepers at home. And so what we're looking for in our ministry is the opportunity to have a women's prison and a men's prison close enough together where we both can work for the Lord there. One might ask, why would a man go to prison? Those men are wicked men. We don't go there to get them out early or to shorten the sentence or try to help them in any way except to give them the Word of God. And one might ask, why would you go? Well, I think if you'll study the book of Jonah and find why God sent Jonah to a wicked city that was already doomed and on its way to hell, then you'll probably have the same answer why God caused men to go behind prison bars. And in Jonah, the second chapter in verse number 8, Jonah and his prayer, if he was dismissed from the stomach of the whale out on the seashore there, he prayed this prayer. He says, "They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy." And those men behind prison bars, they've observed lying vanities, the lies of this world. And now they're suffering the consequences. But I'm glad that Jesus has a plan. And those that will come up, call upon His name can have eternal life. I don't care what they've done. Now, there's men behind prison bars. I never ask a man what he's done. Because if some of them told me what they had done to be there, I would despise them. Because they're hideous men. They've done hideous things. And I never ask a man. But my conviction in my heart is that that man will have repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he can be saved. And that's the reason I go. And I want to go and not only lead men to the Lord, but take this precious old book that you and I take for granted as the children of God and take and minister it to men that they might be firm in the Lord, might come out of that place with assurance in their heart that they're a child of God and that they have the Lord Jesus Christ to be with them throughout their walk of life. You pray for us. And I count it a great privilege to be here. And I encourage you, look ahead. The Lord Jesus Christ is soon coming. And let's give, let's sacrifice, let's go, that we'll not be ashamed at His appearing. Thank you.
All right, at this time, like last night, this missionary group, these four families, sang for us last night, and we wanted them to do it again tonight. For those of you that were not able to be here last night, and also on the radio understood that they could not be heard very well, the mics didn't pick them up. So hopefully their being in the choir area will help in that matter. You pray for them now as they sing.
Appreciate these missionaries. these missionary families out of our church that's here singing tonight on the platform, and I appreciate what they're getting done around the world, and I bless the Lord for them. It's good to have Brother Tim Ramey with us. I invited Tim earlier to come, and he wasn't sure whether he'd be able to come or not because his dad's been real ill in the hospital with a Harley, and he has about only 30% of his heart that's functioning. They brought him home today, but they're basically going to have to sit with him. They just can't leave him alone. And there is a real need of prayer for Brother Harley. But Tim called and said he was going to come and be with us tonight. And we're just glad that he's here. And I want him to come and give a word of testimony and say what's on his heart. And I really appreciate what he's doing in the prisons. I love Brother Tim. I love Brother Tim a lot when he doesn't get after me too hard. If he's going to get on anybody tonight, I told him to come on up here, and I said, you get up there and get it ready for our brother A.J. now. You've got to set everything up for get it ready for A.J., so we'll see how good he does. According to how A.J. preaches, if A.J. preaches good, we'll give Tim credit. If he don't, we'll blame Tim. All right, Tim, it's yours.
Appreciate that introduction and the setting up. And they said this was a missionary meeting, conference. It looks to me like it's a miracle revival. Got Brother A.J. up in the choir singing. That's one of the greater works in Rowan County. But I'm honored to be here tonight. I wished I was better prepared. I've set up a lot with Dad. I've took a lot of sinus medicine. And I'm real nervous, to say the least. But I'm honored to be here. And I appreciate y'all as a supporting church, Brother Bearden, and the church here. And I do appreciate y'all, and want you to know that. I feel like most of the time that I'm just a part of Calvary Baptist Church. I've always been welcome here, and I've worked with Brother Bearden and you folks a lot, in your meetings and around and about. And I've always just felt like I was at home and a part of the church, and I appreciate that. And all you've done for me, my family, and my dad, and I do desire that you pray for him. We don't know what the weeks will hold for him. But God knows, God holds tomorrow for him, and really from here on out he can't do nothing but get better. His worries are about over and his travels is about done. His wars is just about fought and finished, and I'm glad to know that he's headed home. Headed home, this is not the end. But as I said, we do work in county jails. Brother Bearden talked to this brother about being in jails, introduced him as a jail preacher, and introduced me as a prison preacher, and really it's about the opposite. I work mostly in jails and visit prison some, and from what I understand, he works in prisons and may or may not visit jails. Is that right? I'd say he would if he could. I started out in a jail work here in Rowan County Jail about 12 years ago, and Brother A.J. gave me my training, really. Working with him trained me to deal with hard, callous people. And I worked in jails for several years just visiting. You know, matter of fact, I wasn't even preaching at that time, at least not, you know, outwardly and openly. A.J. said I've preached ever since I've known him, but I started going there, and God called me to preach, and I was talking to Brother A.J. one night, and God was dealing with me about going to jails and going full time. That's been 8 years ago now. It's hard to believe that I've lived this long at this, but God's made a way. But I was talking to Brother A.J. was coming through I believe it was coming through the fog. We'd been up there somewhere in a meeting, and I was looking for somebody to give me some help about getting out of this, you know, getting away from it. As this brother said, I hadn't chose to go to jail. I've always tried hard to avoid jail. And up until I got saved, I'd done a pretty good job of it. But I was looking for somebody to say, and, you know, Brother A.J., and usually a spiritual man, you know, he says, well, pray a lot about it. You know, pray and fast and wait on God, and God will pull back the curtains. Just don't get in a hurry and wait on God to just push you out. And that's what I wanted to hear. And I told him that I felt like God was dealing with me about going full time into the jail and prison ministry, and wanted to know what he thought about that. He said, go at it. I said, what about praying and fasting and waiting on God? Why wait? He said, that's where you belong. That's where you work. But I tell you, I've not regretted it. I've not regretted it at all. They tell us, them fellas that do all that figuring, they say there's 1.5 million in jails and prisons in this country, in America.
That may not seem like a lot to you, but that's more than they are in college in America. And I don't know which is the worst, being in jail or being in college, but there's a lot of folk there. And I deal with a lot of your people. There's probably some folks here tonight that I've done seen that could raise your hand and say, I've dealt with your people, some of your children. I deal with a young man and have regularly that come through the home. A young man named Larry Roberts. You probably remember Larry. You need to really pray for him. Larry's got saved. He got saved. He's in Brushy Mountain Prison there. Of course, he's having a real battle. The doctrine of grace falling controls those men, and it destroys those men. Larry has a real battle with that thing. But God has saved him and doing a work in his life, and I hope to see him out and on the street. But we deal with a lot of your people, a lot of your neighbors, a lot of your family in Rome County Jail. And I need your prayers. I forgot to look at the time. But anyway, I'll close out. One fella asked me one time, I went to a strange church, and it was strange, and it had a strange pastor. I hadn't met him before, and he sat down by me, and he said, tell me something about you, so I know how to introduce you. He said, what do you do? I said, I preach in jail. He said, is that all? I said, well, that's about it. I might be able to dance with the right kind of music, but that's the main shot, preaching in jail. But y'all pray for us. Remember us in your prayers. There's men around this world that need to hear the gospel. You can't go everywhere, but you can help people to go almost everywhere. And here's what we have sitting in the choir tonight are men that's going around the world, reaching out. And I'd like to be able to help them. I'd like to be able to have a part of that. Brother Hooks has got a tent ministry. He's helping me right now, a little dab in the jails and prisons. And I hope to help him come next summer in the tents, working our own land, working around and about here. Be prayerful for these things. We certainly need the power of God, the will of God, the mind of God. We just need God to move on our land. I tell you, the jails and prisons are full, and man's answer is to build more jails and more prisons. But that's not the answer. 70% of everybody that ever goes to jail goes back. And out of that 70% that goes back for the second time, about 80% go back for the third time, and then it goes to about 98% go back for the fourth time. But they say, according to what they've figured up, you know, I don't know who does this, but I read where one man said 70% of those that make a profession in prison never go back. They need to hear the word of God. God bless you, and I appreciate your time.
Amen. All right, you men prepare to receive the offering, if you would. I want to say just a thing or two about the faith promise. I had some of the young ladies to pass out these tonight, and I'm not going to take them up tonight unless you just want to put them in the offering plate. I like for folks to think on what they're going to do and pray over it, and then do by faith. Now, I have no problem putting my name on a faith promise card. Some people do, and if they do, that's fine. Some folks don't want to put their name on a faith promise card. It really doesn't matter what you're giving in the past. I know people do it different ways, but I'd like to know what we're going to get above what you already given. That's what I'd like to know. And I'd like to know that if we could by this Sunday. And so I had, to those that were here, everyone should have got one of these. And we had some pink ones, and we gave them out to the children, teenagers, because they're a little different. And there's really nothing wrong with teenagers and children learning to give by faith as well. I know this will work. The reason why I know it'll work, we've done it for almost 23 years here. And we did it in the church that I was in before I became pastor here. And when we started giving by faith promise here at Calvary in 1970, we gave $9,700 to mission. And last year, we gave $81,000 something. The most we've ever given one year was $97,000. That's 1987. I got to go back, or have Brother Cooney too, and see what we did that year, what happened. You know, because I'd like for us to hit $90,000 next year in the year of 93. I'd like for us to hit $90,000. I'd like for us to give $90,000 to mission. We're giving 37% of all of our take to missions. And I'd like to see the day when we give 50%. You know, give half to missions, keep half of it at home. You cannot ever go wrong giving to the work of God and giving for the cause of Christ, propagate the gospel around the world. All right, we've been receiving offerings, and of course, we started giving special offering envelopes, and anybody that wants them can have them, but anything that's given in offerings going to the missionaries anyway. And so I hope you'll faithfully give. We do have a lot of sickness. My wife's mother got home from the hospital today, and Sister Lefew is doing as well as can be expected. Sister Betty, she just got out of the hospital, and I just looked back through the number tonight, and I believe we got probably the smallest number, but we just got people that's out because they're working and things of that nature. And then you got people that just do not come. None of you pastors have that kind of problem, but we do sometimes. You know, sometimes folks just don't come. You ever have that kind of problem? But we're glad for those that are here, and God has been gracious. Brother Harold, when you count the money, I want to know how much you got. I want to know how much you got. If you'll bring that back to me, I'd like to know what we've wound up with here, okay? All right, if you men will come and pass the offering plate, ever what you give, we'll go to missions. We'll go to these missionaries tonight that's here in the service, okay? Our Father, we thank you for this time now, and I pray that you will bless this offering to the cause of the Lord Jesus. May we all give that it would honor Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. To give some offerings. I feel like this would be of God's perfect will. I've never done this, but I was up half the night last night, and when I don't sleep, I think up something to do. And I want the Leffy family to come. Brother Henry, I want you right over here. Right there by Brother Randy. And once the Leffy family's lined up, I want your wife first, and then Brother Jim, I want you, and I want the children. I want you just in a line right across there. Children be over there. That's fine. Right there. Okay? Got it? Stay close together. Okay? I want the McCrums. Step right over there, Brother Jimmy. You want to stay close together? I want the Baines. Then I want the McClures. I don't know what the offering was tonight, but we've been in revivals. We've had camp meetings in this church through the years, and our folks have always given good. We've always been a giving church. And when the meeting started, I wanted to give this each family in my own mind. I was praying about it, and I knew we had four missionary families, and I wanted to give each family $500. And I thought, that's impossible. That's impossible for us to do that. Because people do not attend missionary conferences. So the offerings will not be that good. I think we usually get about $1,100 usually in camp meeting, the house fill. And through last night, the offerings was $1,627. And on what we got tonight, so I met with the missions committee, and I said, let's give the husbands $400. Let's give the wife $100 to buy her new dress. And let's give all the kids $10 a piece to go to the Pizza Hut. And I want to give these fellows $50 a piece. Brother Henry, Brother Hooks, I'm going to find some money to give you. I'm not going to leave you out. This fellow worked down there at that tent. When we had that tent, I learned to really appreciate Brother Don Hooks. And I just happened to have $50 extra. God bless you. And Brother Ramey, I want to give you $50. And where's that other boy? He's sick. Son, I want you to take that. You just do whatever they'll let you do with it. Rachel? Now which one are you? What? You're Ben. Son, your dad's right hand. You give that other brother yours with that. You do that? Take care of that, can't you? You know, I like to do this for the whole family because, you know, the women, a lot of times, and the kids gets pushed in the background. You don't let Jim have that. You get your address for it. All right? Sister Darlene? Brother Roger? Let's see. This little girl is going to have a birthday the 21st, and she's going to celebrate it tomorrow. Isn't that right? Dolly Ann. Dave. Dwayne. Teresa. Brother Joel. Bless you. Do you think you could spend $10, Tisha? Mm-hmm. Easily? No problem? About you, Tim?
Yep.
Yes, sir? Where? You got your brother. He's gone. I tell you, I better let Tish take that pen. No, women, huh? You think you can hold on that now? You won't go nowhere and spend that. Okay. All right. Girls, Lori? Leanne? I got one more in there. Take Jason one. Okay. Sandra? And AJ? That's all it is. You getting that, Brother Smith? You got a picture of all of them? All right. Thank you so much. Give them a good hand. I did that because I want our folks to enjoy that. They've given the money, and I wanted our church to enjoy that. I really did, and I praise God for it. I bless the Lord for that. Where are we now? We're going to have a special. The McCrums, you need to come back up here right quick. Don't get too comfortable there. All right. Brother Roger McCrum and his wife Darlene's going to sing. Then after this, we'll change service.
To stand the test, ready to stay at home and send others if he sees best, ready to go, ready to stay, ready my place to fill, ready for service, lowly or great, ready to do His will. Ready to speak, ready to mourn, ready your souls to yearn. Ready in life, ready in death, ready for His return. Ready to go, ready to stay, ready my place to fill. Ready for service, lowly or great. Ready to do His will. Ready to go, ready to stay. Ready my place to fill. Ready for service, lowly or great. Ready to do His will.
Oh, I like that, don't you? Like that number? You know, the Lord always lets you down. He never, never comes through. He just don't ever come through. $2,016.
Camp meeting. Isn't that wonderful?
Sir, you didn't know that. See, I didn't tell you until you got the offer.
Brother A.J. McClure,
you come preach.
Well, good evening, folks. How in the world are you tonight? Saved? And ready to go? You know, the first time I really heard that song and it gripped me, in the first work that the Lord let us get started in Australia, in our evangelistic work, we ran across an elderly man and his wife. She's just about blind. He is just about a month short of his 90th birthday. He wanted to come visit the church. I told him we'd be happy for him to come. He's a little dissatisfied with where he's going. They wouldn't use him any because of his age. He came by to visit us, and when he came by, he asked me that Sunday morning, he said, I wonder if I'd be able to sing a song today. And I said, I said, you talk to the song leader, and if he's willing, I'm more than willing. So he went and talked to the song leader, and the song leader said, sure. And so he got up to sing, and he sang that song, every verse of it. And if I know anything about it, he meant it. Ready to go, 90 years old. And he meant every word of it. He is serving God to the best of his ability, and he is mad at the folks down at the church where he went because they wouldn't let him do anything for God anymore. You know, I would to God that all of us old folks were like that. I mean, we need to remind ourselves that we inhabit a world suspended halfway between heaven and hell. Amen. Alienated from the one and not yet abandoned to the other. Amen. And as I've said previously in this meeting, I think the important question is not, will the heathen be saved if they never hear the gospel? But are you and I saved if we don't do everything under God that we can do to get the gospel to them? And I'm ready to go. Are you? We ought to be. We ought to be ready to go any place that God would send us and then bless Him and glorify Him for the wonderful privilege just to go. Thank the good Lord for the privilege to go. Well, some of you are ready to give. You've given. I can't believe that. That's almost impossible. This small crowd, you know, that's come each night. And $2,016 and some few cents. And that's amazing, isn't it? You know, I often wonder when the offering's taken up, if we could listen spiritually, would we hear the applause of the crucified hands? In Mark 12:41-44, the Bible talks about a poor widow woman who gave two mites. And the Lord Jesus stopped everything there and talked to His disciples and pointed her out and said, you see this poor widow? He says, she's given more than all they that have given today here in this offering. And you know, I wouldn't doubt, but what if we could hear, we might have heard the applause of the crucified hand. You know, most of us are like the little boy who was given two apples and he is told to give one of them to his sister and to be generous. Now, one apple was almost twice the size of the other apple. Well, he's in a bit of a quandary there, you know, him wanting that big apple. Thought about it. He looked back at his mama and reached the two apples to her. He said, how about giving them to my sister and tell her to be generous? You know, that's the attitude of a lot of folks in America. A lot of Christian folks. You know, God's blessed us. giving us big apples and little apples, and I fear most church folks, you know what they're doing? They're keeping the big apple and sending the little apple. But I believe God wants us to be generous, don't you? We need to feel for others. We need to feel for them in our pocket. Don't we? I think so. Every one of us have more than we deserve, even though less than we desire. I read a little poem some time back, and it said, "The angels from their place on high look down on us with wondering eye, that where we are but passing guests, we build such firm and solid nests. But where we hope to live forever, we scarce take heed one stone to lay." I wonder if they do that. I believe they do. Well, may the Lord help you and me to lay up treasure in heaven, like we've done this week. I mean, until Jesus comes. And want to give more, and God will help us if we really want to. I believe He'll help us to give more and do more. Now, I want you to pray for me tonight. You know, you shouldn't shoot without aim or speak without thought. And I've done some thinking, meditating, and praying. And I want you to pray for me. You know, all powder and no shot maketh noise but killeth not. And sometimes I think all I'm doing is just shooting wads. Got a little powder there, but not much shot. And I'm shooting at you tonight. Every preacher is when he preaches to you, if he's doing what God had him to do. He's shooting at you. I want you to pray for me. Turn to First Chronicles, chapter 12. First Chronicles, chapter 12. I want to read just a few verses and share with you some thoughts that God's put on my heart for this hour. And while you're turning, may I say that I have enjoyed this mission conference and this good preaching that I've heard. I tell you, I believe God's blessed and helped each one of these men that have preached. And I just praise God for speaking to my heart, encouraging me and stirring me up. And I bless Him for it. Bless Him for a good pastor and a good church. And I'll say a little more about that in the message. Chapter 12, First Chronicles. Now these are they that came to David to Ziklag while he yet kept himself close because of Saul the son of Kish. And they were among the mighty men helpers of the war. Verse 16. And there came of the children of Benjamin and Judah to the hold unto David. And David went out to meet them and answered and said unto them, "If ye be come peaceably unto me to help me, mine heart shall be knit unto you. But if ye be come to betray me to mine enemies, seeing there's no wrong in mine hands, the God of our fathers look thereon and rebuke it." Then the Spirit came upon Amasai, who was chief of the captains. And he said, "Thine are we, David, and on thy side, thou son of Jesse. Peace, peace be unto thee, and peace be to thine helpers, for thy God helpeth thee." Then David received them and made them captains of the band. Now you'll notice in verse 1, the last four words there, helpers of the war. Helpers of the war. Missionary work is a war. That's what it is. The Christian life is a wayfaring life and a warfaring life. We are both sojourners and soldiers. We've got enemies, internal, external, and infernal. And if you're a child of God, you're a stranger and a pilgrim on this earth. You are a sojourner here. And we need to be reminded from time to time, as old brother Matthew Henry said, this world is our passage, not our portion. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. We're strangers here, and we're pilgrims on this earth. Tent dwellers. as all of our spiritual forefathers were. We're also soldiers. Now, a good soldier or a bad soldier, an AWOL soldier, makes no difference. If you're a child of God, you're a soldier. And David had some men who came to him. They're helpers of the war. And they only want to do one thing, and that's see that David is proclaimed king throughout the land. That's the one desire that they have. That's all they desire. They don't desire for the Democrats to take power or the Republicans to take power or for democracy to rule this earth. They desire one thing, and that is that God Almighty rule through His anointed David. And that's what every child of God wants. You know, I'm not interested in whether the Republicans or the Democrats are in power. Of course, I'm for the conservatives, as every child of God ought to be, but I've never found any of them yet that suited me. I'm looking for Jesus to come and take this thing over. And I'll not be satisfied till He gets here. Now look, in this portion of Scripture, first thing we see is a costly action in verse 1 and in verse number 16. The Bible said that certain people came to David to Ziklag, that they came to him while he was in the hole. You see, David is a wanted man here at this time. He's in exile. At present, he only has hardship and difficulty to offer his followers. But we read where certain men came to David nonetheless. They come to him because they know him to be God's chosen one. They know that Samuel has anointed him to be king over Israel. And they're not at all, satisfied with the present administration. Saul is nothing compared to what they desire to sit on the throne of the kingdom. And so they make a costly move. They forsake that and they go out to associate themselves and identify themselves with a despised, exiled, anointed king. Chosen of God. They know that to be so. They also know that David is God's champion. They had seen David enter down into the valley of Elah, which word means strength, and take on Goliath, that giant, defeat him, cut his head off, and come out victorious. They know that this is God's champion. You know, as I read that and thought about that, I thought how much more in these days you and I ought to know without a doubt that the Lord Jesus is God's chosen one. He's the one that was anointed of God, Peter said in Acts 10 verse 38. He's the one chosen of God, 1 Peter 2 and verse 4. He is the Christ of God, and you and I ought to know that He's the one chosen, ordained, anointed of a thrice holy God to sit on the throne of the kingdom of this world and this universe, thank God. We also know, folks, that He's God's champion. He's the one that entered this veil of tears, took on the greatest giant that you and I shall ever face, and defeated him. No man had ever faced death and came out victorious. A few had avoided him, Enoch, Elijah, but no man ever took him on and came out victorious over the grave and over death. But the Lord Jesus Christ entered his domain, thank God, pulled his stinger out, took the crown off of his head, took the keys from his side, thank God. You and I, you know why I came to the Lord Jesus? I understood that He died for me, but I understood more than that. I understood that He rose again. And because He lives, thank God, I shall live with Him forever. You see, these men know David to be God's chosen and God's champion, and they believe that because of those two things, that he has a great future before him. I tell you, things not looking too good now. Oh, let's be honest. Let's be honest. You know, don't walk around the dream world, as one preacher said, with murine in your eyes. You know, things are bad. And they're going to get worse. And folk, we may end up dwelling in a cave somewhere. I don't know. But I do know this, that before it's over, God's chosen, God's champion, is going to sit on the throne in Jerusalem and rule and reign with a rod of iron. I know it to be so. You say you living in a dream world. We're facing it. No, no, no. I'm not living in a dream world. But if I was dreaming, I wouldn't want anybody to wake me up. I'd want to just keep on living as I'm living and thinking like I'm thinking. It's not going to be all over for you and me when death comes our way. The Lord Jesus is coming from heaven. He said, if I go away, I will come again. And he went away, and he's coming again. It's a costly action in this hour. I tell you, to really come out of this thing and come out and come and identify with the Lord Jesus and his followers, it is a costly thing. That doesn't cost you anything to get saved. We know that. Not a thing. There's nothing you can offer God. There's no price that you can pay to get saved. But there is a price to be paid when you come out and when you identify with the Lord Jesus and his people wholly and fully. There is a price to be paid. It's a costly action, and thank God I can say tonight, and most of you can say, that we're willing. We're willing to pay the price. As our brother McComb preached this morning in chapel, you're either a fool for Christ's sake or you're a fool to Christ. Thank God I'm glad to be among those who are fools for Christ's sake. Hallelujah. A costly action. And then secondly, here in this portion of Scripture, we see a cautious question. Now look at verse 17 with me. David went out to meet them and answered and said unto them, if you become peaceably unto me to help me, mine heart shall be knit unto you. But if you become to betray me to mine enemy, seeing there's no wrong in my hands, the God of our fathers look thereon and rebuke it. You know, when I read this portion of Scripture, I thought, now David, why are you so much different than the average pastor and missionary that I know of? The easiest thing to get into and the hardest thing to get out of, somebody says the mafia, but it's not. It's a Baptist church. It's a Baptist church. You just come forward squalling a little bit and get them torn up a little bit emotionally and stand up and say a few things that pleases folks and they'll just take you right in. Next week you'll be teaching Sunday school. Won't be too long before you be a deacon or a trustee or something else. David wanted followers and needed followers. But I'll guarantee you something. He wasn't so eager to enlist followers that he was willing to forego necessary issues that had to be raised. He said, I want to know, first of all. He said, I want to know, who are you coming to? Look what he said in that verse 17. He said, if you become peaceably unto me. He said, are you coming to me? Or are you coming to someone else? Why, he says, are you coming? How are you coming? He said, are you coming peaceably unto me? He wants to question these men to find out who they're coming to, how they're coming, and why they're coming. Who are you coming to? What's the reason for being here? Are you coming because you're devoted to me? Is that why you're coming? He said, how are you coming? Are you coming peaceably? You know, I asked Brother Beard one time, I don't know if I'll say this or not, but surely it wouldn't be much wrong with saying this. I asked him one time on the phone, and he had phoned me over there in Australia, and I said, how are things going? And he said, well, you know, so-so. He said, we're up and down, but we're maintaining our number. He said, you know, we're just kind of swapping church members around here. Well, isn't that about the way it is? David wants to know, are you coming peaceably to me? Or you just want to come and be a part of this thing to criticize and disturb and disrupt the thing? Are you coming in here to help me? Evil society is the death of piety. And I'm going to tell you something. The church has got more trouble in this hour with termites on the inside than she's got with woodpeckers on the outside. You know what the problem is? And even as our brother left, you said the other night, it's one thing. You should never get up and knock anybody that's getting something done for God. And far be it from me to get up and just criticize and be critical of anybody doing anything for God. But I'm going to tell you something. We've been so numbers happy in our day here in America and on the mission fields of this world that we're willing to take anybody for any old reason that they'll give. As long as we can count a few nickels and noses. David said, look, let me, if you don't mind, just sift you just a little bit. And I want to find out what you're coming for. I tell you, we've let everything come in every fashion come in, and we thought that we are strong enough that we can handle it. Listen, we ought not ever discourage anybody from coming to Christ in repentance and faith. I tell you what, when it comes to being a member of the church, hey, I had a little talk with a fellow on the mission field, an Australian pastor. He thought I was a little too strong about a few things, and I thought he was a little weak-kneed and wishy-washy about a few things. We talked it over, and we decided that we could not work together. And we parted, and these were my parting words. I said, brother, at least we can comfort ourselves in this fact. We're both doing the Lord's work. You in your way, and I in His. Hey, I believe I'm doing it God's way. On the mission field where I go and preach, it ain't an easy thing to become a member. In fact, most of the folks that come are not members. They want to get baptized. I want to know, are you coming because you love the Lord Jesus? Are you coming peaceably? Are you coming to be critical? David went on to say here, if you come to betray me to mine enemies, in other words, David is saying, are you coming to stay or are you coming to betray? Do you mean to come and be a part? To be helpers? Isn't that what that verse says right over there? Ye also helping together by prayer. Boy, I tell you, in this charismatic day we live in, I've never yet met a charismatic who told me they had the gift of help. They got the gift of prophecy. They got the gift of tongues and you know, the spirit of knowledge and judgment. And I've heard everything. But I never ran across one yet that said they had the gift of help. David said, I only want people who are gifted to help. Help. I think every pastor wants 100% activity. Or, what's the word I'm looking for?
Involved.
That's it.
Involved.
Huh?
I mean, get in it. Get in it. Do what you can do. David said, look, if you're just coming because you like somebody else here and not me, if you're devoted to somebody else and not me, I don't want you. And he's a type of Christ, you see. He said, if you're coming peaceably, I want you, but if not, I don't want you. Hey, look, I'm fully convinced in this hour that if all you offer people is prayer and the preaching of the Word of God, you're never going to have a big crowd. And you'll never convince me that all those 3,000 got saved on the day of Pentecost with that 120 that already there met in one place all the time. And then the 500 got saved later and more. They all met together, didn't they? And said, we got the S church in Jerusalem. You know what the S is? You know, that's when you put the EST on the end of it. We're the biggest. If we're not the biggest, we're the fastest growing. If we're not the fastest growing, then we're the friendliest. But we got to be an S somewhere down the line. We got to have a superlative on it. Hey, who are we deceiving? Hey, I'm looking for something genuine in my own life, in your life. What good's a bunch of people that you can't get in the building unless you entertain them? Hey, Paul Charles Spurgeon offered them with a congregational hymn or two and a reading from the Scripture and prayer for about 10 or 15 minutes. Most folks couldn't endure that publicly in this hour. And then a message from the Word of God, and he could pack them in his day. I'd say we're in a terrible shape in our day, wouldn't you? I mean, you got to have some kind of gimmick if you want to get a crowd today. Come watch this preacher. Man, you ain't never seen nobody act like he acts. And they'll turn up. You know? But for some just poor old one gallus missionary who can't preach, well, you know, I'll make it if I can, but you know, don't expect me to be there if something else comes up. Huh? Somebody asked me one time, said, what's the best message you ever heard? I said, the last one. The last one that God blessed in my heart. That's what I'm looking for in you, the voice of God. This man David said, now, I'm a little cautious, you understand. It's a serious situation I'm in here. And there's just a few things I'd like to ask you. And he asked them these questions. I say to you in this hour, we ought to ask folks a few questions. We ought to find out some things about them before we race them up here and baptize them. You say they baptized them the same day on the day of Pentecost. Well, they're working with a little different crowd than you and I've been working with. You evidently ain't been a few places I've been. Yeah. Use a little common sense, why don't you? Huh? And if you're not doing it in God's way, do it in God's way. Quit, drop your way. And do it God's way. Hey, the Lord Jesus, 3.5 years, and all he had was 12 inside men, so to speak. And one of them was a little shaky, wasn't he? He'd get a big crowd, and he'd say, well, now we better just do a little sifting here. To see what we got. And you turn and look and there'd be 12 standing there. Huh? I'm just telling you like it is. Hey, you know what I do on the mission field? I get folks coming, I preach grace to them, repentance and faith, I get them coming. And when I get some folks that look like they're really interested in going on for God, I start on that discipleship series. Yes. And oh, that's when we get the fireworks. That's when we find out who's who. David said, now, you'll understand if I have a cautious nature, and there's a question to it like that. Well, he did. He did. And there's some things we ought to ask. As one preacher said one time when he was preaching about Ananias and Sapphira, and he said, where would I be today? He's in the pulpit preaching, looking out. He said, folks, where would I be today If God struck every liar dead, where would I be? There was kind of a laugh. A little ripple went through the audience. And then he leaned over the pulpit and he said, I'd be preaching to an empty church. Yeah. Well, we might not have an empty church, but some of they might not be many of us around, huh? Yes. Listen. I believe that we ought to, in this day, be a little more cautious about those that we let come in and join up with us. Hey, that's what I do on the mission field. I think that's what ought to be done in this church. And you men that pastor churches, I think that's what ought to be done in your church. Hey, you think you're going to reap it all in and rake it in at the judgment seat just because you got a big crowd? I read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that one day after a while, every man's work's going to be tried. And only the gold and the silver and the precious stone is gone to abide the fire. Not those people that you know there's something bad wrong with and possibly not even saved. The foundation is Christ. And Paul said, I laid a good foundation. And you men at Corinth better be careful how you build on that. You better be careful how you build on that. Now, I got to hurry on. Number three, look at me. Look here, if you will. Thirdly, at this candid confession in verse 18. The Bible said the Spirit of God came upon Amasai, and he spake for the rest of that group that came with him. He said, thine are we. And on thy side, he said, David, he said, we love you. We're here because we love you. And David, we're here to surrender ourselves to you. He understood in the Old Testament that truth. In the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 13, now the body is for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. He understood in his coming, the Spirit of God enabled him to express it, that he no longer to belong to himself, that he is David's. Thine are we. Thine are we. You know, when my wife and I got married, she didn't understand at the time. I've had to point it out to her a few times since then. I said, you belong to me. Now that might be a comforting thought to some folks, and it might not be. I said, you belong to me. And I said, I belong to you. When the Lord Jesus seeks to teach us that spiritual relationship we sustain to Him, He uses the analogy of the marriage relationship. Hey, I spoke on the mission field one time, Brother Bearden, when we was going to get ready to organize into a church. And I said, you know what this is, don't you? I said, this is marriage. I said, you want to be married to me? Well, some of them kind of looked at you and raised their eyebrows. Hey, we're part of one another. Us folks here, the members of Calvary. Now, we're all part of one another. Us that are saved, right? We know that. We're part of the body of Christ. But us here at Calvary, we're family. We're all part of each other. Hey, I don't like you talking about my family. I know. I don't like you talking about my mom and daddy, my brother and sister. And I don't like you talking about my pastor. And my church. You say, there ain't nothing wrong with your mom and daddy or brothers and sisters. I didn't say that. You saying your church is perfect, your pastor's perfect. I didn't say that. You know they're not perfect because I'm a part of it. I'm going to tell you something. If you're a member, there ought to be a loyalty about you. On thy side, Amasai said, we're with you. Boy, I love to sing that song. We ever sing that song here? Who's on the Lord's side? Who will serve the king? Huh? Thank God, I'm glad I'm on the Lord's side. A lot of folks in this hour are like that crowd on Mount Carmel when Elijah said, if God be God, follow him, and if Baal, follow him. And they answered him not a word or made a move. We ought to say, Lord, here I am. All that I am and have and hope to be is thine. I want to be a helper of this war. I'm yours, and I'll serve, I'll help in any way I can. I'll give, I'll go, I'll pray, I'll do whatever I can. I'm devoted to thee, Lord. And folks, the only way we can show our devotion to God is by our devotion to our pastor, our spiritual leaders, the members of the body of Christ in that location, like here at Calvary. You're not any more faithful to God than you are to this church. You don't love God anymore than you love this pastor and the other members of this body of Christ here. You're deceiving yourself. You don't love God anymore than you love this group of people. Oh, you bunch of murmurs and complainers. You don't like somebody else and what they do and what they say. And I know you're worth a lot more than they realize. And we'd be in bad shape if you ever left. But somehow or another, we'd make it. We'd make it. Oh, listen. You know why we're not getting any more done? And God knows I'm not trying to belittle you. What did I just say? God knows we could do more. And somehow or other we'd just get together, stay together. I mean love one another. Really love each other. Our devotion to the Lord Jesus be so great that everyone would know it. You know, I got this allergy trouble. And I'll try a little everything. You know, somebody will recommend a remedy to me. Brother Hamp recommended honey and vinegar in water, warm water. I'm already on that. I'm already on that, Brother Cooney. I can't tell anything yet. I'll know tomorrow. He said he took it one night, woke up the next day, and he's been a new man ever since. I'll know tomorrow. But you know, I try about everything. I'll take garlic tablets. I'll take odorless garlic tablets. And my wife, she'll get next to me and she'll turn her head, hold her nose. I said, but it's odorless garlic. She said, it's not odorless where you're concerned. I said, you got a super sensitive nose. Hey, you know something? According to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, we're a sweet savor of Christ. Us that know the Lord Jesus. And I'll guarantee you, this worldly lost crowd who knows not God with their super sensitive nose will be able to detect an odor about us if we really love our Lord Jesus and love our brothers and sisters in Christ. Well, David recognized a man who spoke under the power and the inspiration of Almighty God's blessed Holy Spirit. The last part of verse 18 says, then David received them, made them captives of the band. 2 Samuel chapter 23 says their names were written down. Verse 3 here gives us some of the names of them. I'm glad, thank God, that when you come to the Lord Jesus and He receives you, your name's written down. And after you've been enrolled in that heavenly book of life, you're entrusted with something. In 1 Timothy 1:11, Paul said it's the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which is committed to our trust. We are ambassadors for Christ. The word of reconciliation has been committed to us. We're to serve Him faithfully. I tell you something, I believe God's looking today, in this hour, for the same thing that the man who ran the little grocery was looking for when he put the sign outside of his door, his shop window, and a little boy came by and read it. It said, help wanted, supply within. Well, he's rather young, but he's needing a job. It's summertime, you know. He wanted to make a little money. He went in and told the store owner, he said, I'm interested in the sign you've got in the window. Help wanted. Well, he looked him up and down. He said, you're not a very big fella. He said, what in the world could you do? He looked him right in the eye and he said, I can do what I'm told. Now, you know, I believe God's just looking for a few folks who can do what they're told. Huh? Can you? God help me. I want to do what I'm told. God help me. I want to do what I'm told. I want to read two verses to you out of Romans 16, then I'm finished tonight. Romans 16, verse 3 and 4. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Well, what's so great about them, Paul? Well, they're just helpers. Hey, many adversaries, Brother Roger, but they're willing to help on, even if men laying down their necks, sticking their neck out. You know, even the turtle, he don't make any progress unless he sticks his neck out. And I tell you something, folks, we're not going to get ahead for God unless we're willing to stick our neck out and do what we're told. Be a fool for Christ. Say, here am I, send me. Live for God and serve Him till Jesus comes. Helping together, striving together. Jesus, God's chosen and God's champion, is coming to rule and reign. And I want to be a helper of the war. Invade the enemy territory. Win the enemies of God to wholehearted allegiance to His Christ. Don't you? God help us in these days till Jesus comes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy blessed Word. Stir our hearts as never before. I thank Thee for stirring my heart in these days of meeting. I thank Thee for folks who've given sacrificially. For the more than generous love offering that's been extended to us. We're thankful for it. Oh, God, help us in these days to be helpers. To be helpers. Helpers of the war. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
And all the people said, amen. Let's stand. We're singing 496. I surrender all. My, what a song. Reckon we ought to sing that? I mean, reckon we really mean that? I mean, no. We've been confronted pretty good here tonight. Reckon we really mean what we're talking about? I surrender all. If you need to come, the altars are open for any reason. You come if you need to come tonight. The missionaries will be here to pray with you, help you if you need help. You come. 496. Brother Smith, let us go.
Freely give, I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. Oh, to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Well, I really like that message. We needed that to wind it up here Thursday night. We need to stay with the stuff, don't we? I want to say to our folks, I'm not going to sing another verse. But I want to say a little bit more about faith promise now. I'm not going to hold you but a minute. You might want to just be seated. Two of them.